Welcome to The Big Picture. Is everybody already thinking about 2020? How's 2020 looking for you?
The campaign started.
We, folks, have a new president-elect, Donald Trump. We have a huge show tonight, right on the heels of last night's election results. We are going to break down all of the states, who were the winners and the losers in our Massachusetts ballot questions, and so much more. As always, I am Lisa Nichols. I am here without Derek Gary. The voice you heard in the beginning is Joel. He was here last week, and we also have returning guests, Mariel Cabral. Thank you guys so much for coming on. And I'm sure anybody that listens heard you guys last week. I was on vacation, so thank you for filling in.
You know, you called in and set us all straight.
No, the minute I landed, I was telling you, I put on my earbuds and I had to listen. I was jealous that I wasn't here, and I think Derek's a little more jealous that he's not here for this show, because this is, you know, something that we've been working up towards the whole entire year.
Somebody had to go to a Pet Shop Boys show.
Yeah. So,
somehow,
I mean,
he has
a pretty good reason.
And I'm as happy to be here, and by here, I mean not the studio, I mean America. I'm happy to be in America.
And we got Derek on the phone
much
here.
As
we got Derek on the phone as well. Derek, is that you?
That is me. How are you guys?
Hi, Derek.
I got the window up here so we don't get buzz noise. So are the liberal tears flowing freely at the station right now?
I've already wiped them all up from everybody.
Okay.
We're using them to salt everything.
Yeah. It's not as bad as some people would make it out to be. You know, as I said earlier tonight on Chris's show, when I stopped in, you know, after you've settled down a bit, after you've had some time to process what happened, ask yourself one very simple question. Did half of Americans who voted come out last night and cast a vote because they hate somebody? Or did they come out and cast a vote because they want a job?
I think a little bit of both, actually.
I think it's a lot more of one than the other. And yeah, I will concede that there were some people who took advantage of this election to push a very dangerous agenda, you know, a white supremacist agenda or an anti-gay agenda. But I think you're going to find that the vast majority of people who voted for Trump last night really just want a job. I really just want some economic security.
I think, yeah, I mean, it gave some hope. But you know what? The thing with this
false hope.
Maybe we should. We're getting a little.
Yeah, Derek, you might want to turn your radio down.
It's not on, actually. We're on speaker.
But, you know, talking about pushing agendas, and I really feel like you got a lot of that coming from social media, just looking at Facebook alone. Between yesterday and today, I had to stop looking at it because it was so saddening. We're in a country that has such a huge divide, especially racially, and we look at these new elections and the hope for what could change in Washington, but we're divided even more just based on who we voted for or who we didn't vote for or your peers.
But our electoral system makes no sense.
Absolutely. I mean,
we should not have the Electoral College, mm-hmm. and we shouldn't have first past the post vote winner takes all. When it was this close, we should have ranked voting, you know? You vote for Trump first.
No, I was discussing with my boyfriend last night about just how the Electoral College works, and we'll get more into it in our bigger segment about the election, but I get it. You have so many of these swing states that can really determine who's going to win.
There were no fewer than five battleground states in this election alone.
So essentially what happens? Do you just have them vote?
Well, you know, and that's the thing. They could have gone either way. And, you know, if we had the Electoral College, let's take that out of the equation for a second. You're talking about a couple of places where in a couple of cities, like major cities, they were all going for Clinton. Everybody else was going for Trump. And that's why Trump won those states.
Mm-hmm. Now, Derek, where you went to your polling, how crazy was it where you were? Because I know people in the city were waiting, what, like an hour and a half, 2 hours? I was able to get through pretty quickly, but you're right near me.
I'm a privileged white person, so we have a large polling place. I didn't have to wait in line, but it was busy.
Did you have to show your ID?
I did not have to show my ID. I don't think we do that in Massachusetts.
We do not.
Maybe we do. I don't know.
We do not.
But I'll... I'll say this and then let you guys get to it. Whatever reason you may personally have for believing why Hillary Clinton lost last night, there is one actual reason why she lost.
She didn't get enough votes.
That is the state of Wisconsin.
Yes.
That is the state of Wisconsin, and that is the Electoral College. So if you want to do something, if you are wondering, how do we fix this? How do we stop this from ever happening again? Let's get rid of the damned Electoral College once and for all.
It's definitely a relic of the past.
And it's definitely something that will be very easy to do when the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch will all be in the hands of the Republicans. So, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
GOP won big yesterday.
No matter which party is in power, they have a vested interest in keeping that system the way it is because it allows them to consolidate and hold on to power, and it makes the presidential election process easier. It is going to take a groundswell from the American people to undo it, but I believe that we can.
Well, thanks for calling in, Derek. We miss you, and have fun tonight.
You have fun, too. I'll see you guys next week.
Take care, Derek.
But yeah, I mean, it was this just amazing spectacle of an evening. You know, it was spectacular, but it was also bizarre. And I don't know what you guys, if you talked about last week, whether you predicted who you thought was going to win, but especially with talking to Derek back and forth, we, I think, like most people, predicted that Hillary Clinton was going to win. And I was going back and forth for so long.
I don't even think that it's so much predicting that Hillary was going to win. It was people still in disbelief that Donald Trump had even made it this far.
No, I can absolutely agree. What it comes down to is, I mean, unless you've been living under a rock for 24 hours, you now have President-elect Donald Trump, who will be sworn in,
January
20th. 2017, and
we'll have a House and Senate that are controlled by the Republicans. I don't know how many of you saw Paul Ryan's speech today about moving forward and unifying the country and talking about policy. This is a no-brainer. Basically everything that the Republicans have been trying to push through for the last 8 years but couldn't because of Barack Obama, they're going to get a rubber stamp this time around. So TPP, all the pipeline stuff, repealing Obamacare, closing down Planned Parenthood, all those executive orders that Obama had signed into law this year are pretty much going to be gone on January 21st.
That's not necessarily true.
I mean, Trump hasn't been getting along with the rest of his party, let's be honest, and he is not exactly the most forgiving guy, so he might lash out against people, and people might not want to work with him.
Let's see if they can
work across on their own side of the aisle.
They may have to do that, but keep in mind that anything that Trump vetoes... Or you know, they've got a majority in the House, a majority in the Senate. It's not going to be that hard to override anything that Trump tries to
put through.
That's
crazy. And just like Derek was talking about, though, you had a population that 50% of people voted, as he said, for a job. You had in many of these areas, and one thing that I predicted was, I felt like Pennsylvania was going to be the wild card. Some people were coming out and saying Michigan was, you know, a big focus also, again, like Derek said, Wisconsin. These swing states, and this is an area that people are run down. I mean, for 20 years, it's loss of jobs. They were sick of it. And they voted against a, you know, ruptured party, just like you said, Muriel. I mean... the Republicans basically are blowing themselves up this whole year from the inside. But I do have hope. That's the thing.
I am not a Trump supporter. I am the opposite. I am against Trump. I am also was also for Hillary Clinton. I know a lot of liberals were not for her. But I do say I do hope. I don't have a lot of hope, but I do hope that he's able to unite the country and we're able to heal and move forward. But I do hope that. But I do think he also lied to people, especially people in Michigan who think they're going to get factory jobs back. He can't promise that. It's not true. And most of the people don't even have the education to run these automated machines. My husband runs a machine shop here in Medford, Massachusetts. He can't get enough qualified help. He can't. So actually, I'll use this opportunity to ask for people who are qualified, right. You know, let me know.
Well, I'm unemployed. You can train me. I can do anything.
Well, again, these are great teasers for, obviously, all tonight we were going to be talking about election. And again, Joel and Meryl, thank you so much for joining in on the show. But as we start the show, it's time for some news. There is some other stuff. Other than the election. It's crazy. It's mind-blowing.
What other stuff could there possibly be?
Well, first in local news, today we learned Massachusetts says no to more gambling, charter schools, and yes to comfy animals and the weeds. Voters in Massachusetts decided in 4 ballot questions Tuesday night. Both questions 3 and 4 passed and will soon become laws in Massachusetts. Question 3 prohibits farmers to sell animal products from keeping animals in cages that prevent them from lying down, standing up, fully extending their limbs, or turning around freely. Question 4 legalized recreational marijuana throughout the state. Questions 1 and 2 did not pass Tuesday. Question 1 would allow a second license in Massachusetts. Question 2 would have lifted the cap on charter schools in the state. If it was passed, it would have allowed at least 12 more charter schools to open or allowing existing schools to expand. So, of course, we got to start with question 1. Second slot license in the states. Voter rejected the measure, 61 with a no and 38 with a yes. Are we surprised?
Not no. In the least. No.
I wasn't surprised. You know, with all of the turmoil that's been going on when they rejected all the casinos that were trying to be proposed, whether it be East Boston, Revere, we do have one coming in Everett. When it's starting to be built, I don't know. Right. But we have the one slots parlor. What town is that in? It's
in Lemons.
It's yeah, like southern.
Well, I mean, this goes back to what we were talking about last week. You know, basically, these people wanted to build slots in this existing place. The city council said no. So they decided to make it a referendum on the ballot to get to do an end run
and
around the system.
By them, you mean out-of-state developers.
Exactly. Yes. Who have absolutely no vested interest in the community of Revere.
No, of course, because the state of Massachusetts is going to give them so many tax reductions that it's hardly going to cost anything to build their massive moneymaker in our state, but then is going to be taking money from us.
And of course,
you're going to say that we're going to get a lot of tax dollars from it, absolutely, go ahead.
No way, yeah.
Start, but it's not going to happen.
We see this all the time when it comes to building sports stadiums.
Yes.
You know, it's like, oh, hey, we want to do something for the team. Mm-hmm. And no, you don't want to do something for the team. You want to build concession stands and charge $20 for a cup of wine is what you want to do. So, I mean, I think people have been forever burned with that. And the people of Revere have it bad enough being, you know, from Revere. Mm-hmm. They, you know, and having to deal with, you know, the fact that these gambling establishments exist and bring the quote unquote wrong element. And fact of the matter is, look, everybody else in Massachusetts does not necessarily care what goes on in Revere.
And that's the thing. And this is where it starts. It's not just on a state level. You can't, you know, gauge attitude towards something. Say if we did have it in Revere, if somebody's voting out in Western Mass, they have no reflection. They don't care what happens.
They have no vested interest in it whatsoever.
And we saw when they were trying to build it in Revere in East Boston, how many of the communities were so angry that these were being passed without... And there were many meetings that did happen and people shared their feelings about it. But the people of the community are the most important that are going to be affected by this. And it's the same thing that's happening in Everett. Not only are we talking about the surrounding communities of people that live there, but thinking about the traffic that's going to be happening.
Traffic is a nightmare without any of that
and
stuff.
And you guys are both in this area.
Absolutely.
Trying to get into Charlestown down the Sullivan station. Exit off the ramp. It's unbelievable.
That just doesn't happen.
So now you're going to completely bypass that for how many months that it's going to take to build it. And then we're building a casino. it's already passed, it's already done, it's happening, but do we need another one? And I really think the answer is no.
Yeah,
And thank God Massachusetts voted against
60% of Massachusetts mm-hmm. also happen to agree with that sentiment.
Now, question two was the charter schools. Big controversy that was happening. I'm sure everybody at least knows a teacher in their life, and every teacher I know is saying, vote no, vote no. So this was a measure. It was rejected 62% no to 38%. Again, I wasn't really surprised, because I think so many outside influences, whether it be family, friends, you have kids in the system, and you truly believe, because essentially what was happening, you had Governor Charlie Baker saying, no, we've been doing the allotting of funds to these separate charter schools for hundreds of years, because all of the money was going to either vocational schools or agricultural schools. A lot of these are being shut down, so their money's being flushed into these charter schools. Then on the opposite side, you have people saying the community only has a certain amount of money that's going to the public schools. These are already run down. A couple weeks ago on the show, we were talking about how Mayor Marty Walsh is trying to put initiative together. He was down in Washington that would allow any Boston Public student that graduates with at least a 2.2. That's how incredibly low the average is. 2.2 grade point average to get free 2 years community college. So Bunker Hill Community was a part of it. Quincy College, they were trying to get a little more, a few more schools involved. But that just shows you the state. And so many times I've questioned Derek and said, what is wrong with Boston Public Schools that much? Why can't we fix this?
Because they don't want to fix it. They don't want to fix it. Because, you know,
because it costs money.
Because it costs money. And that money needs to go to other things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every time there's a budgetary concern in the state or even in the country, the first thing that takes the hit is education. The second thing that takes the hit is the elderly. The third thing that takes the hit is usually veterans. So in that order, it doesn't matter, Republican or Democrat, this is always the way it happens. Mm-hmm. And I think we heard Charlie Baker say today, or at least he was quoted on NPR, that they were going to make a renewed effort to put more money in the public school system in light of this initiative to open more charter schools.
You have 32,000 children on these wait lists. So, you know, whether they were to be opened or not, I'm not sitting in on these meetings to determine the funds that are going to the school. So you have one side saying something and the other side completely saying something else. You don't know. But
it's all code for being able to pick and select who gets educated and who gets left behind.
Exactly. And that's what my real issue with it.
So many of these kids do not have a chance. When we set standards of a 2.2 grade point average, our, you know, graduation level is at an all-time low in Boston public schools. It is so incredibly sad, and these kids don't have a chance.
Yeah, let's not take away more money from the schools that are doing the worst.
Absolutely, and I would want that money to be allotted to go into having these kids able to go to the colleges where there's a little bit higher standards, so you're either going to make it or break it. Try to take the opportunity that you can. Now, question three, another one. This is the cage animals. It was a measure passed, huge margin. So thank you for everybody having a heart. 78% said yes and 22% no. I want to know who the hell the 22% are. Nobody has a soul.
Not vegans, that's for sure.
The people awful. Who didn't want to pay 75 cents more per dozen eggs.
We were talking about this last week. People were voting with their wallets more than the ethics. That's where the 20% mm-hmm. is going. I still got to point out the irony, you know, especially in the case of like veal, when I found out what veal was, I decided not to eat it just on principle. And I'm not a vegetarian. I like a good steak every now and again.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big...
I don't think the law goes far enough. Mm-hmm. I don't think the law goes far enough. We were talking last week about, you know, how food is processed. And, you know, when you eat a burger,
look at everything that's added now into it.
When you eat a burger, you're eating the meat of as many as 1,000 different cows from mm-hmm. from all over the place. And there are not enough safeguards to make sure that diseases and safety protocols are being observed. I do think it's a little bit ironic that, you know, we are worried about the ethical treatment of animals that we are breeding to slaughter mercilessly and use for food.
No, and again, I am a huge proponent of somebody that, you know, wants to promote the wellness of animals, but I am a huge meat eater. I mean, my Instagram has pork in it.
Yeah. Almost daily. I follow her on Instagram. No,
I eat a lot of meat. But again,
I saw Babe 3 times and wept every single time.
You made a perfect point, Joel, in saying it's kind of ironic that this comes out because there aren't enough standards. I can't tell you how many times that I talk on this show about things falling through the cracks by the FDA. You know, whether it's a listeria, whether it is, you know, whatever disease comes up and how many people are affected by it.
Right.
And how many bills are you know, have passed, mm-hmm. have been going through the House and the Senate about doing away with the FDA and the EPA for that matter.
And of course, and if you have the means to do it and are able to spend the money, then yes, you can get your Kobe beef that is massaged and fed beer and, you know, and
hey,
it's a happy cow.
Massaged happy cows make great Whole Foods steak, I won't lie.
And know where your product's coming from. I mean, I always say, like, definitely local vendors. Local is
but
the way to go.
But you have to pay for the real cost.
And of course. And we're talking about a country that doesn't, and nobody has the means to do it.
And now we're talking about shipping our meat to China, mm-hmm. for processing and packaging so they can ship it back to us so we can have it in the supermarket.
Yeah, you should do what they do in Europe where they don't allow certain imports on food.
No way. And they're not going to allow U.S. mm-hmm. imports once this happens.
Mad no, but what do we do? Cow. What do we do here in the United States? Whatever's cheaper. And I believe these 22% that don't have a soul, it all comes down to the money. And what they think is all of their products are going to be a higher price now. So your milk's going to cost more. Your cheese is going to cost more. Your meat's going to cost more. God forbid, you know, your double cheeseburger is going to be taken off the menu at McDonald's and now it's going to be $1.50.
I want to take those 22% to one factory farm.
Yeah, just and watch the videos. They have plenty of them online. YouTube yeah. It's
just walk by and smell them. Those things smell disgusting.
Well, happy animals now. And of course, the question four that everybody has been talking about. I think this is a question that most people were excited about: the legalization of marijuana in Massachusetts.
And boy, are we going to need it now.
Super controversial. It passed by a really tight margin. It was 53% voted yes and 47% said no. I had an interesting conversation with my family over the weekend. Telling me about how they went to church and the priest told them, you know, the weed's bad. don't vote for the weed. It's yeah. So the
law. I'm pretty sure Jesus smoked weed.
Probably. No, I mean, yes.
When you think about what Jesus would do.
That is why that last supper was so delicious.
Washing the feet of the homeless and smoking joints. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, how much money came in from the church to stop this bill? What happened to the separation of church and state? Mm-hmm. The church should not be giving money to influence the decisions that are made by the voters.
So now the law will take place December 15th. It's for residents 21 years or older will be allowed to keep up to 10 ounces.
That's an insane amount.
Of marijuana in their homes and less than 1 ounce of marijuana on them in public. So no, this doesn't mean you can go out today and go smoke without or having 10 ounces at your home and not get arrested. Again, December 15th. I don't know.
Be cool for like just a little bit over a month, guys.
There's a lot involved with this. Cannabis Control Commission is going to be created before the law takes effect. So that will determine who is issued licenses.
And the taxes from the sales will pay for the administration and the Cannabis Control Commission.
Now, anyone that buys marijuana products at these new stores that are going to be opening up have to pay the sales tax, which is still to be determined, and along with an additional 3.75 excise tax. Cities and towns with these retailers will also be able to add another 2% if they want to. We've had this conversation on the show so many times, and using, of course, Colorado as a model for it, right. And saying essentially what you try to do or what lawmakers want to do is eliminate that black market. Unfortunately, there's always going to be a black market because it's always cheaper than anything you're going to get in the store. But if you create, or if Massachusetts, which they won't because we tax so incredibly high, if you make it at a point where it is reasonable for somebody to go to the store and do it legally, then you are going to have a massive drop in the black market, and more people are going to be utilizing these stores.
I think a lot of that has already started when they legalized medicinal marijuana.
Yes.
And I as a point of disclosure, as I said last week, I actually have a card. I get my prescriptions on a fairly regular basis. And you know, contrary to what we saw in the anti-marijuana ads, where you got the soccer mom,
it's so bad,
driving
going up
kids
to the store,
around, and
yeah,
like you
with
know,
the candy
it's
shop,
so
and, oh,
not like that. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely not like. First of all, it's you know, the dispensary in my neck of the woods does not have any windows looking outside. You have to go. You have to present your ID to a security guard outside, who will let you into a mm-hmm. locked door, where you show your ID and your card to the person inside, who's behind glass, who will also open an unlocked door, leading to a metal detector that you go through, so that you're not, you know, carrying any weapons or mm-hmm. anything like that. And then you get to go in, and it's like being at the RMV.
And of course,
you take
it's
a number,
not like
and you
a
wait
free
for,
your, for all.
It's absolutely not like a free for all.
And the thing with all of these states, so similar measures were passed in California and Nevada yesterday, already legal in Colorado, again, as I said, Washington, Alaska, Oregon, and District of Columbia. But you just explained it perfectly. This isn't something that you just walk in like, hey, with these new stores, it's going to be a little less lenient, but it is not a free-for-all. You're going to have every single ounce that is produced. Government knows about it. They are going to have so many restrictions on it.
It'll be just like buying alcohol in Salt Lake City, where every drop of alcohol is cataloged and mm-hmm. recorded. You know, I do that already now with the medicinal stuff.
But hey, if people are going to do it, let's tax it.
Absolutely.
Let's get money for the Commonwealth. We just talked about
how much money
a few weeks
Colorado
ago, how much
make?
Money we don't have. Exactly. And they had these, did you hear a few months back when they were trying to propose this, they basically had a tour bus of all the people from Beacon Hill. They all went and went into the shops and, you know, they come back with these reports and it's crazy. And it's crazy to me to think that people think that children are going to be walking up to these stores and buying it like it's candy.
I'm going to be walking up to this store and buying it like it's candy.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's different.
But the other thing too is that, you know, we also have to be as good citizens. Maybe what we need to do is just kind of be a little bit more mindful that, you know, think about when Prohibition was lifted and everybody lost their minds getting drunk because they could. Now everybody's going to lose their minds and smoke a lot of weed because they can. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not saying that everybody's going to get behind the wheel of a car and you know, wreck a car or whatever. Most people that get stoned like that don't want to drive a car. Mm-hmm. They want to sit on the couch with a bag of Cheetos.
We're going to see fast food sales
really, really, really skyrocket. Mm-hmm. The sales.
And you know, delivery. Yeah, if you're a
You know, everybody does it, and it's naive and it's, I think, ignorant to say that. You know, it's just young kids that are getting high with their friends. No, a lot of people do it. And let's tax it, just like cigarettes, just like alcohol. Let's make some money off of it.
You'd be surprised how many people I have met at the dispensary waiting for my own turn in the line. And these aren't kids. These aren't a bunch of stoners. A lot of these people are like, you know, disabled. Mm-hmm. You know, people, you know, with cancer and glaucoma and neurological issues.
It's been proven. I mean, it's in studies. It's medicinal. It helps people, whether it be anxiety, whether it be with pain. If it's going to help somebody, then yes, absolutely.
You know, the best.
It's still against federal law. Let's remember.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so
can't go over state line.
Can't go over state line. You can't take it on an airplane.
No.
And you're probably getting your name put on a list somewhere. So, but that, you know, Apple has all our fingerprints now anyway with the new OS. So, basically, just know, just remember.
A cautionary tale.
A cautionary tale.
Well, yeah, I think we came out pretty good with those questions. Well, today in national news, we learned progress has been made in the fight against Zika. Researchers reported two steps towards fighting the Zika virus on Monday. One team has found a potential way to protect unborn babies from the virus, and a second from a team that has announced the start of a human trials of a new vaccine. Neither offers immediate relief from the epidemic of Zika that has swept across Americas and the Caribbean and parts of Asia, but they both provide hope of potentially being able to protect pregnant women and their babies from the infection. Quote, this is the first antiviral that has been shown to work in pregnancy to protect developing fetuses from Zika's fetus. This is proof of the principle of the Zika virus during pregnancy is treatable, and we already have a human antibody that treats it, at least in mice. That was said by Dr. Diamond, Michael Diamond, at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis, who's helped lead the research. So essentially what this treatment does, it's based on the bodies of our own defenses and the immune system. It's a particle called monoclonal antibody. This is something that could help us. And it's been a little bit out of the news as of recent. I'm thinking maybe because it's a little bit colder, so people aren't thinking mosquitoes. I was just down in Florida last week. That's where I was on vacation. And it was interesting to see at every entrance that you go in, whether it be Epcot or Disney, there was a spray for you off. And same thing with in the hotel rooms. There were signs everywhere about it to protect yourself. I know there's still, of course, major problems that are going on in Miami. One of the epicenters of it, the CDC has come out and said, yes, you can travel here now. But we were getting to a point in the summer where you couldn't travel.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is an exciting development, but it's going to take them a while for this to be safe enough for them to test on human pregnant women.
Of course, because it's not, when they're testing this on mice, it's not that the mice are getting bitten by mosquitoes. They're being injected. So, of course, it takes on very different potential.
And, you know, you see, I mean, if you have ever met a pregnant woman, they are very careful about what they put in their bodies. So trying to get pregnant women into clinical trials, I mean, this is going to take a while, but I'm glad they are making some developments.
It's interesting to see because so much of the money that was allotted for Ebola that we ended up not having to use, there was such controversy within the House to where to give it. And should we give it to Zika? And so many times it was knocked down. We have millions of dollars that the money needs to go into this and figure it out. Because we have Southern America, and a lot of these are poor communities,
absolutely,
Florida being one. And if it does, say it comes back full-blown where it was this summer, into areas like Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, where these people can't leave. It's not rich white people that can just pack up and leave and move north.
I mean, yeah, it's we need to have some sort of intervention, and let's hope that we don't completely get rid of Obamacare so that people can afford some sort of affordable health care.
Again, Zika virus, and we've talked about it. You know, it doesn't cause serious diseases with most people, but it does cause profound birth defects. And to carry it to full term, we're talking about $1 million per baby. So until we have people, many, many people in this area, because look at what was happening in Central America and especially in Brazil. How much money is being pumped from the government into taking care of these babies? That is when the United States, that is when Washington's going to wake up and say, oh, now we have to pay for all of this. And WMFO Medford, I have to say that. In world news today, we learned India has discontinued two of the largest rupee notes in a shocking move against corruption. Notes worth 500 and 1,000 rupees will be invalid starting at midnight local time. Prime Minister Narendra Modi.
Just say
yes.
Modi.
you have great insight on this. Announced during a televised address to the nation. This unexpected move is designed to fight against corruption and money laundering, Modi said, calling it diseases and obstacles to the country's economic success. Modi said that the policy changes have largely failed to root out corruption. 2 years ago, she said India was ranked 100th in terms of global corruption perception, and the country has only improved to 70. 76th. The idea is that Indians who have stockpiled undeclared income will now be forced to come out of the shadows. Quote, this is a step to strengthen the hands of the common man in the fight against corruption, black money, and fake currency, Modi said. But the ban could also spark a mad scramble as ordinary Indians seek to exchange or deposit their cash. Modi said citizens have 50 days to deposit at banks and post offices. Hospitals will be allowed to accept the banned notes for another 2 days until November 11th. So yesterday, out of nowhere, you have the Indian Prime Minister Modi saying she's going to get rid of two of the most commonly used Indian bills. So
that's 500 like rupees. Yeah. I want to be clear. According to today's exchange rate, and I'm sure the dollar plummeted, but is $7.50.
Okay, so you woke up and all of your $5 and $10 bills. Non-existent.
You basically can't use them anymore. I used to travel to India a few times a year for work when I worked for a financial inclusion nonprofit, microfinance, so giving small loans to people. You're giving out these loans, and when I was traveling there with money, I had 500 rupee notes. I had 1,000 rupee notes. The only other options you're going to have, you're going to have 10 rupee notes. You're going to have 20 rupee notes. You're going to have coins. And maybe if they're keeping some of the larger.
They are creating new ones. I heard they're creating 2,000 and a new 500.
Which will be harder to counterfeit is the idea. But, he's trying to make a point. And he's going to cause a stir. 50 days to turn in your... Can you imagine if you had 50 days to turn in your $5
and
$10
bills? No, I think about that scene...
Oh, since I never have any money, it's really not a problem.
Well, I mean, it's even worse in the U.S. because there are more people in India who are unbanked. I mean, it's not as big of an issue in some developing countries, but like, how are they going to do this? They don't have savings accounts to put these in, too.
I think about that scene from The Social Network when they go in and they think that they're going to lose all their money and they hire all the strippers to cash in the money for them. That's what I just imagined. So all of these people, I mean, clearly India does have a big tax evasion problem. Some of the statistics that I was looking at, it was like 2-3% actually claim. Well, but you're talking about a country that a large majority of people, they sell fruit. Yeah, on the side, or
it's called the informal sector, so they don't pay taxes, and that's largely the clients of the microfinance institutions that my company worked with, and they don't pay taxes because they don't make enough money and because they don't get a paycheck. They don't have somebody taking it out every month, and you know what? There's almost no infrastructure in India. If you want to go to someone's address, you're not going to go to Lisa Nichols' house at 8. Broadway, you're going to go to, it's across the street from this and this bank. It's down the corner opposite. There's no infrastructure. So it's very difficult for the government to track everybody and to collect income tax from many people, way more in the U.S., and many, many poor people. They are working on systems like this, but... it's difficult.
But is this a logical way to do it? I mean, is this, and when you have a country that is filled with so much corruption and you're talking about how it's diseases and, you know, it's just a little hiccup and making your country great, is that the way to do it when you have such a significant amount of the population?
It's going to hurt poor people. It's going to, and that's terrible. But I think he's trying to make a point to middle-class Indians and upper-class Indians who are also evading
taxes. No, of course you want to get the big guy, but what you have, you're hurting the lower class.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many people are really carrying around these large notes, but we'll see.
Yeah, they say the transition really isn't going to be easy. The Reserve Bank of India estimated that there's 16.5 billion 500 rupee bills, and there's 6.7 1,000 rupee bills currently in circulation. So they assume that everybody's going to come forward and do it. And of course, if you come forward with massive amounts of money, I'm sure you're going to have some Indian tax
Just want to remind everyone to save your Confederate dollars because the South has risen again.
That money might be worth something now.
It's worth something now.
That's right.
Well, today in food, normally we do food and tech separate, but really interesting. I'm going to do it together in food and tech news. We learned one man's trash is another man's treasure. Food for All is on a mission to reduce food waste in the United States. The new food ordering service app essentially lets people buy restaurants' leftovers in an effort to help restaurants cut back on waste and to keep food from piling up in landfills. Users simply search for the app in deals nearby, select food that they want to buy, and go to the restaurants to pick it up. Food for All is already operating in Boston, where about 30 restaurants have signed up to participate. This is only a pilot program, and the app has launched a Kickstarter campaign to raise funds for the final business model and a launch in both Boston and New York City. At the time, the app has amassed more than 300 backers and over $12,000 with 28 days left to go. About 40% of food produced in the United States goes to waste each year. Restaurants, caterers, cafeterias throw away about 43 billion pounds of food. An individual restaurant's waste each year is estimated 25,000 to 100,000 pounds of food. Not only is the waste money about $160 million per year, but it also said to be a major driver of climate change. This is really interesting. And of course, I'm in the industry, so this piqued my interest. But really, really great idea, because so many times working in a restaurant, I thought, how great would it be if we could have local food banks coming in and picking up just something basic as bread, as the produce, because... Absolutely. Where I work, it's a little bit higher standards for what we throw out. I'm sure maybe in like a lower level restaurants, they save things for. But your higher end restaurants in Boston, it is unbelievable what they waste. And whether it be produce, seafood.
I spent 7 years in food service. Mm-hmm. Started working at a Brigham's. And worked at a Boston Market for a little bit. Boston Market, by the way, cleanest kitchen ever. Oh. They only keep their food for 2 days, and then they get rid. They don't let anything sit for more than 2 days. Mm. But I worked at a local pub restaurant in Lowell, and we would every week give all our leftover food to a homeless shelter in
Lowell.
But
that's really unusual.
It is unusual. But I think more people I think if more people did that, then we could feed a lot of people for starters.
You have to incentivize the restaurants, which is why mm-hmm. I think this app is a great
absolutely.
Idea.
And what they're saying is they're basically selling it for 80% discount. Mm-hmm. So even if the restaurants can make it, it's a no-brainer to me.
I agree.
Why restaurants wouldn't want to sign up for this. It's not only helping...
They still make money.
Of course. You're making money, and that's the bottom line. Because I've seen somewhere where you take something as simple as a Caesar salad, and because you only want to use the heart, you chop off all the leafy green parts and throw it away. It's unbelievable. And just for the good of the product. Now, if you're using all that or donating it, it will have a lot of good come from it.
40% of food in America goes to waste.
It's a lot. Mm-hmm. It's unconscionable that we throw that kind of waste.
Yeah, unconscionable. Absolutely.
I can't put it on the blame of the people that just don't eat a lot and don't take it home.
No.
This is just in the course of food prep.
We're just saying. Yeah, this isn't just restaurants. Mm-hmm. We are talking about restaurants right now, but this is food that goes bad in grocery stores. Mm-hmm. Food that goes bad in your own home.
And I do know a lot of restaurants and people that do take the food home that work there. You know, this could be a great opportunity for people that don't have the means to be able to go out to a grocery store and buy these higher end products that are very good for you. So whether it be your meats or your cheeses and not the because this is what's making us fat. All the things in the middle aisles at the grocery store, the cheap things, the things that have tons of sodium and tons of fat.
It's way cheaper to eat badly.
Of course.
Than it is to eat good food.
Because we subsidize the bad foods. We always have. We subsidize sugar, corn, all that stuff in this country.
Now, do you think if this actually did go through and we had the app, would you download it?
Why not?
Sure.
So Food for All, I mean, keep an eye on
it. Food for All, I'm going to check it out.
They do have a Kickstarter for it, so.
And is there a website that we can go to?
I think it's foodforall.com. I thought I saw a link on...
I bet if you Google it, the Kickstarter will come up.
I saw this on NPR Food, so they're usually really on the forefront of pushing it. But we have, of course, time for weather. And I did want to change this song because Derek isn't here because I hate it that much. But
it's Lena Horne.
I know. But this is so exciting because I never get to do the weather. I only
listen. She sounds so happy about the weather being crappy.
Derek get so excited because it's going to be so cold. So weather for the next few days. Thursday, mostly sunny. Cooler in the high, lower 50s. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Becoming southwest with gusts up to 20 miles an hour in the afternoon. Friday, Veterans Day. If you guys have it off, it's actually going to be beautiful out. High in the upper 50s. Friday night, mostly clear. Cooler in the low 30s. See, this is where I start hating the weather. And I'm hearing these like 30s, 40s. Saturday, cooler, sunny with highs in the mid-40s. And Saturday night, partly cloudy, low in the mid-30s. Sunday, that's your pick of the weekend. Sunday and Sunday night, mostly clear, high in the mid-50s, low in the upper 30s. So Sunday, definitely go out, enjoy the fall weather. Maybe pick up all the leaves that are everywhere. Mm. Yeah,
I just like looking at the leaves.
Yeah, yeah. They're almost gone.
Yeah. Well,
I was surprised how good the foliage. I was on the end of my vacation. I went up to Portland. Still beautiful. So all the leaf peepers, you can still go up to New Hampshire.
Oh, my ride into town today was pretty cool.
Yeah, for all you people that own homes, I'm so sorry for all the yard work they're going to be doing. And of course, it's going to be cold Sunday night. So you can watch the football game. It's going to be a late one if you are at Gillette. Luckily, no rain. Just have a lot of beer. Or as Derek and our friends that have season tickets, they drink a lot of Telemer Dew.
What's that? Tell him.
It's a whiskey.
Really good Irish
and
whiskey.
And he chases it with raspberries.
Real raspberries.
Yeah. Oh, he introduced me
that
at 7:30 one morning tailgating for an early game. So yeah, that's one way to wake it up. So
all right,
definitely
like it.
It's going to be a good weekend. So well, we are going to be coming back and then diving into whether you think it's a mess. We're trying to use that word hopeful. I'm going to try to give you some silver linings to it. It's WMFO, The Big Picture. I'm Lisa Nichols with Joel and Mariel, and we will be right back.
bit of America. I'm a bit of the world. I'm a bit of can't help it. I'm a bit of can't. I'm a bit of America. I'm a bit of the world. I'm a bit of can't help it. I'm a bit of can't. I'm a bit of America.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to WMFO Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols, here with you every Wednesday night. And of course, as always, we want you to be a part of the show. And the way that you do that, you give us a call at 855-915-WMFO. Again, that's 855-915-9636. Big, big night last night. And again, we have Muriel Cabral, returning guest. And Joel, you are, you know, such a big part of this station. And I'm so glad that I finally get to have you on the show and talking about the election, especially where we talk about the election all year.
The pleasure is mine.
After
you know,
our show.
Usually Derek and I get to do live coverage on this station. Yeah. We didn't get to do it this year. So this is kind of a nice little bonus getting to be here with y'all.
And speaking of Derek, we're all glad he's not here.
I'm not glad he's not here.
Sorry, Derek.
Yeah, if you were listening earlier, he did call in and give a little insight. And the show before ours, Time Travel with Chris Earle, he sat in a few minutes. They are at a concert tonight. So I am taking over the reins of this a show that we've been working up towards this entire year. And what I think that where we are today with President-elect Donald Trump, who was voted in last night.
You're having trouble saying that too.
If you asked me that last October, November, when I first started really covering this, I would absolutely think you were insane. Yeah. And I was, you know, as I've said on the show, I am a Republican. I am a proud Republican. But I spent most of the winter of all of last year going to, and just to really do research on different candidates. I went from everything to a Trump rally, to a Second Amendment Ted Cruz rally in New Hampshire, where everybody was in camo and screaming, you know, they're taking our guns.
Well, you know, being a Republican,
research purposes,
being a Republican nowadays isn't what it once was.
Of course.
Used to be, look, you know, you could be for conservative values, for limited government, you know, for common sense entitlement programs and making sure that everything's funded and being deficit responsible and budget friendly. The modern Republican is none of that.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, in order to be a Republican, not only do you hold none of these beliefs, but you also have to hate liberals. And you know that you don't govern.
And Muslims.
And Muslims. You don't govern that way. You govern by bringing both sides together and governing from the center.
But again, so many people, though, these deep liberals believe that many Republicans or conservatives are that extreme right-wing, bigot, racist, which it's not.
It's not entirely untrue, though.
But those were the loudest voices that we heard this election say.
Unfortunately, those people do come forward. And we live in a day and age in a society, as good as technology is, the problem is we live where you can go behind a computer and, you know, as we call it on the show, the screaming children of the internet.
The pajama and people.
It's the safe zone. You can say whatever you want.
But these people were doing whatever they wanted also in person at Trump rallies. Somebody sucker punched a Black Lives Matter protester at a Trump rally.
No, absolutely.
And what's really disgusting about this is that President-elect Trump, which honestly, that gives me the creeps just even to say, he embraced these people.
And encouraged it.
To a point. And we have to understand that, and I'll get more into the media and how a lot of it was skewed and a lot of it coming out when we started this in, you know, we can kind of touch on talking about Bernie Sanders and the coverage, but a lot of the coverage was focused on Trump. That was something that propelled him into getting the nomination.
He but controlled the news cycle.
In a smart way.
People
forget that Donald Trump didn't just fall off the turnip truck last election cycle.
Exactly.
He's been you know, shooting off his mouth and being a public figure and a headline grabber for decades.
Yes.
Decades.
No, it is.
This isn't new.
It's shocking. And as we were talking about in the beginning of the show, I don't think anybody predicted this. Or at least not many people.
Not seriously,
did.
No. No. I mean,
And I surely didn't. Again, I was going back and forth with the last couple months and where it was swaying. I believed truly that there was going to be somebody that, and I'm not going to say who I voted for, but I can tell you that I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton. I couldn't. I've talked about, you know, we can't, prior to the election, we can't say who we're voting for or pushing. But
right now, it's just yeah.
Well, it wasn't that I was voting so much for the candidate, but for the ideals of the party.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time, probably ever, that I'm still a registered Democrat. I'm usually registered independent, and I will go one way or the other. I mean, I wanted to vote for McCain in the primaries when he ran in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I came very close to it because I did not want to vote for Al Gore. And the reason why I didn't want to vote for Al Gore was because of the PMRC and the warning labels.
Right.
And it's like, look, you know, for somebody to say, okay, well, both sides are bad, man.
Mm-hmm.
Both sides, there was this election cycle, there was a stark contrast between both sides. And I anybody that would argue that both sides are the same wasn't paying a lot of attention. And it's not just the media. Every time Donald Trump opens his mouth, and this has been for decades, it makes headlines. You know, when he was feuding with Rosie O'Donnell, when he was, you know, when
of course it does. It's media has become sensationalized.
So naturally,
and there has always been, and we're looking at CNN, Clinton News Network. It was a focus on what are all the bad things that he was saying.
There were
CNN focused a lot on this show, though.
But there was nothing of substance that he was actually saying.
But again,
very little.
No, there was, and I'm not going to say that he is my ideal candidate.
No, well, now
but
the question
what
is,
you,
though.
What happened is, and yeah, you were starting to talk about how there was a split, and looking at the two different candidates, essentially what you had were two that had the lowest favorability rate of
59% each, equally.
Which is crazy. So you had a situation where you decide, okay, well, a lot of people had the feeling of not trusting Hillary Clinton, believing that she was a criminal. On the other side, and these are most of the people that have been all over my Facebook today, it's people that, how can you vote a rapist? How can you vote for somebody like that? What it came down to for me was that I could not give myself a vote for her.
Sure, I get that. But at the same,
whether I voted for him, whether I voted for independent, or I did a write-in, I could not. And that is what I believe happened with a lot of people. They thought that people hated both of them so much that they just weren't going to vote. And we start with